Hi friends, welcome to my weekly teaching videos. Hey, in a moment I'm going to jump into week three of my teaching, all from my new book, The Promise. I've been talking for a few weeks about living from the promises of God and how to build a life based foundationally on the promises of God. Really great teaching. And this week I'm going to be talking about what happens when our faith fails, when we believe for something and it doesn't seem to happen. I know you've had this. We all have, but we can learn from it and move through it and move into a place of victory, I believe. Good. Let me do a 30-second announcement. You can time me starting now. Hey, real quick, if you're not familiar with my ministry, check out the links below. Lots of things going on. Probably the best way of keeping in touch is my email newsletter, link below. Again, if you don't yet have a copy, thank you for everybody who's bought this. We have sold thousands of these already. The Promise by Graham Jones. I have an offer. You can get this for $3 on Kindle just this week, or a paperback Dead Tree version. And lastly, if you don't yet know Jesus, if you've stumbled across this video, I'd love to talk to you about what it means to start a relationship with Jesus. Drop me a line or a prayer request in the comments below, and I promise you I will get back to you. Good. Boom. Good. Well, if you have a Bible today, I want to go to a strange verse and yet a really powerful one. I heard Jerry Savelle preach on this in about 1985, and it, you know, the way you sometimes hear a message and it really impacts you or stays with you. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19 says, having faith, we're talking about faith here, faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. Just unpack that for a minute. Having faith and a good conscience, and then Paul says some have rejected this, and he's saying concerning faith. Some have rejected faith and have suffered a shipwreck. Now, if you will, follow this analogy, because Paul was somebody who knew about shipwrecks. Paul was somebody who experienced shipwrecks. What is a shipwreck? Think especially in the days of Paul, a ship would leave port A and go on a journey, maybe with a cargo, maybe to obtain a cargo, would go on a journey. And somewhere in the midst of that journey, there would be a storm. It would be challenged. The structural integrity of the boat, whatever, would be challenged. And the boat sank and never reached its destination. Can I lovingly suggest to you that's what happens to Christians all over the world? That will be happening to thousands of people today. Well, people start a journey. You know, today, later on today, I'll be flying to Western Canada. And it's Monday here right now. I'm going to travel to Framingham. My wife's going to drop me off. I'm going to take the shuttle into Logan Airport. I'm going to fly into Ottawa, Canada. I hope I make my connection. I only have about an hour, but God is good. And then I'm going to fly on to Calgary. I'm going on a journey. Probably today I'll travel further than Paul will have ever traveled in his life. And, you know, I haven't yet packed. It's not such a big deal. Here's what I want you to catch, though. A lot of people begin a journey of faith. They come, they load up on the promise. Not my book, but the promises of God. They come and believe God can heal them. God can set them free from bondage in their life. God can transform the marriage, the children, their mind, their emotions, different things like that. They begin a journey of faith. And for a time, they succeed. For a time, their faith is, it's like it's chugging along in a way. And yet, somewhere on that journey, a storm hits. Somewhere along that journey, they are challenged in their faith. And they sink, they make shipwreck of that faith. And their faith never reaches their destination. What I've noticed again in ministry, one of the saddest things I'll see is at times people develop a, what I would call a shipwreck theology. Having suffered, imagine if you sent, 10 ships out and they all sank, they all made shipwrecks. After a while, you might believe it was impossible to reach that port. You begin to base your experience on the things you've lived, not the things that are based in God's word. And I think all of us will do that. And, you know, in a sense, God actually wants our faith. He wants our faith to be based exclusively on His word. Amen. But He also wants our faith to be based on experience, on fruit that our faith has produced. There's something wonderful about your ship coming into port. There's something wonderful about having breakthrough. There's something wonderful about experiencing the results of faith that are absolutely transformative. Let me tell you a quick story. This is about the first time I ever saw a deaf person healed. About 25 years ago, I was preaching in the south of India in a Hindu area, preaching in a Hindu village one Sunday evening. It's about a couple of thousand people there. And as I'm preaching away, suddenly this little grandma brought her granddaughter to the front of the stage and started yelling at me. Now I'm on a big stage with an interpreter, 20 pastors behind me. I've got a big PA system and I'm preaching and yet this lady made a lot of noise. I can't understand the language, but she was yelling and screaming at me. And in the end, I stopped and I turned to my interpreter and I said, what's she saying? And the interpreter looked and he interacted with her a little bit and he came back to me and he said, she says her granddaughter was born deaf and dumb. Never heard, never spoke. And she's saying, you say your God can heal her, so heal her. And, you know, I kind of smiled in a way and I said to the interpreter, look, tell grandma, we'll pray for the granddaughter, the very first person. She's the first person we'll pray for, but I want to finish my sermon. I'm actually preaching, well, I want to see people healed. I want to see people come to faith in Jesus. So that's my primary goal here. If I start praying for one, I know exactly what's going to happen. Somebody else is going to, pray for my this and pray for that. And suddenly I'm praying for a lot of individual people and the crowd begin to disperse. It takes a lot of work to bring a crowd together. So I said, no, we're not praying for her. And we carried on preaching. And for a minute, everything was going fine. But then grandma wouldn't shut up. She just kept going on and on and on. And then suddenly, the whole crowd turned. And suddenly, instead of one grandma crying, it was 10 people screaming at me, then 50, then 100, then 500, then 1,000. Suddenly the whole crowd's yelling, and then people start throwing things. You know, at first water bottles and fruit and things like that, and then a stone. And suddenly, you know, literally probably in about a 2-minute space, we went from having a wonderful summer gospel crusade evening to a riot. And I looked behind me, and there had been 20 pastors when I started. Now there are about 7, and they looked really nervous. And I'm looking at my interpreter, and he's like, what do we do? And, you know, we're thinking about, do we run? How do we get out of Dodge? Do we calm the crowd? What do we do? And I, in my heart, you know, I just looked up to the Lord and said, Lord, help. What do I do? And straight away, the Lord spoke to me. I love His sense of humor. He spoke to me and when I said, what do I do? He simply said to me, as if you need to ask. And straight away I got it. I knew exactly what to do. I've been so influenced by fear, by the situation that it hadn't even occurred to me. And suddenly I took control of the crowd. There's actually a really spiritual thing, but I'll go into that in another context. Took control of the crowd and I said to grandma, bring your granddaughter up here. And then I said what we were going to do. I said, we're going to pray and God's going to heal her. Now they're all watching. Now they're quiet as a mouse. Now they want to see, can this God actually do it? We brought grandma and the granddaughter. She was about 15, 16. I have a photo of her somewhere. Brought her on the stage and prayed for her in the name of Jesus. Commanded that deaf and dumb spirit to leave her. And then put a microphone in front of her and said, speak. Nothing. I whispered in her ear, Jesus, nothing. I whispered in her ear, hallelujah, nothing. And here's where I really want you to get. I went through about 90 seconds of the trial of my faith. It's sort of like for about 90 seconds, it was me and God alone. Everybody in the crowd's watching, grandma, granddaughter, my interpreter, the pastors, and I've never felt so tempted in my life to back out of this, to find another solution. Well, in the mighty wisdom of God, maybe God will heal you, blah, 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 blah. And I just really, to be honest, it was probably more stubbornness than faith, but faith and stubbornness are connected at times. It's like I had nowhere else to go. And Suddenly, after about 90 seconds, you know, a minute and a half, I whispered to this girl, Jesus. And then she spoke for the first time in her life, Jesus. And then she spoke clearer, hallelujah. We taught her to speak in front of her old village. You know something, guys, here's what I really want you to catch in this. Revival happened in the village. The whole village came to Christ that night. People were bringing idols. We had a bonfire of crystals and, you know, Hindu idols and all sorts of things at the front of that crusade stage. The whole town gave their lives to Jesus. And I want to encourage you, this is not a negative word, but this is a truthful word. You're going to go through the trying of your faith. Your faith, Jesus never promised you, set sail on the ship of your faith. And it'll be row your boat gently down the stream. You'll never have a problem. You know, there are no sharks, there are no storms, there are no rocks. No, you will have trials in the journey of your faith. And I think number one, to be aware of that, the Bible says we should arm ourselves with the thought of suffering. To know that is really useful. To know what to do in those moments is really useful. To know and prepare your reactions and your responses in advance is really useful. To know and prepare to fight the temptation that you will experience in those moments is really useful. And we're going to teach how real practically to do that this week. Guys, thanks for watching, and we're going to be back tomorrow with another teaching. Well, thank you, friends, for watching all the way to the end. Again, I'd love to hear from you. If you've got a prayer request or a comment, put them in the comments below. Lots of things going on in my ministry, churches in New England, my traveling ministry. Again, too many things to mention here. I really would encourage you to sign up for our email newsletter. Again, link below. And let me remind you, you can pick up a copy of this book on Amazon. We have an offer on Kindle right now, or you can get the paperback version. Thank you for watching, guys, and I'll see you real soon. Hit the subscribe button if you are on YouTube. Bye for now.